Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for Your Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 4th, 2024. Obviously, we're in the Big Book. We're in How It Works. We're reading page 58, that second paragraph, starting with Our Stores Disclose, ending with Then You Are Ready to Take Certain Steps. And we're just reading that one paragraph. Our readers today, 4 to 12 steps, Tenzin P, the 12 traditions, Joni C. Reading the text is Vanita L, page 164 is Elena C. Our backup readers, Jen A. Newcomer greeters, Tony B. Second hour host is Matt JF, and Kathy S has the announcements. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals through shared experience, strength, and hope, and are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. I'm chopping it up today. Sorry about that. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps for us today.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us, and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. Appreciate it. Next up is Joni C. with the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Joni. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we are in How It Works, and we are on page 58, that second paragraph. It starts with our stores disclose, and it ends with then you are ready to take certain steps. And Vanita L. is going to start us off today.
Good morning, everybody. Vanita Ellery, compulsive overeater in Georgia, and thank you for your service, Russ. Our stories disclose, in a general way, what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. So it's really common jargon in our 12-step rooms that we call this our experience and our strength and our hope, right? The pain and the craziness and the insanity that we went through in the disease, and then what happened to get us to take a different path, and then what we are like now. And that's pretty much all we have to offer to other suffering addicts. And the brilliance of AA is, and I heard a speaker recently say that there are some professionals who seem to disparage 12-step groups sometimes because they don't like it, say, like with alcoholics, there's a bunch of junks that maybe can help people, you know, when, and I have a lot of education too, but when their education, you know, when their education can't help them and all the stuff they learned. And of course, we need professionals also at times, actually me a lot. But the power of another addict who says, I know what it's like. This is what happened to me. These are the things I did. And this is how I am now. And they can see us now. And they believe us because they relate to our stories, hopefully. You know, it was just yesterday someone called me wondering if they had, it was a different group, but wondering if they had this, had a problem. And she said to me, would you tell me your story? And she wasn't describing stuff that was really dramatic in her life. So I just told her some recent experiences that I had and how the program helped me. And she was like, oh my God, I get that. And she felt then super hopeful that there was a path for her. So I was taught, though I forget it at times, like yesterday, because this newcomer asked me to share my story, but that I should, generally speaking, share my story with newcomers, because this world runs on, you know, like, oh, I'm so cool, this is my ego, this is how I'm like so great in the world, and look what I've accomplished. But when it comes to addiction, we meet in our vulnerabilities and our weak points. We meet, we connect with another addict by saying, you know, I didn't even remember it, but my daughter told me that I used to sit in a dark closet with the door closed and eat cookies so my kids wouldn't see me. And my daughter opened the door once and found her mother sitting in a closet eating cookies because I didn't want them to eat it because I didn't think cookies were good for them. So an addict's going to relate to that. And we've all heard stories in OA that we can all relate to. Some of them are just unbelievable. But that's the power of our stories, to connect and help other addicts.
All right, Benita, thanks. Appreciate it. So before we start sharing, before I get the names, I forgot to share IDs for yesterday. So grab your pen and paper right quick. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, November 7th, 2024 to 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,896. That's 21,896. And the 10 a.m. is 21,897. 21,897. All right, so we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, let others have a shot. Who would like to share?
Katie G. from Boston.
Julie Ann. Yes,
from New York.
Hold on.
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Hold on, I got Katie G.
Janet B.
Bonnie, yes.
Okay.
Janet B.
Got it.
Leanne
F. Anna, Elena
R.
Bonnie B.
Leanne
Lisa B.
Okay. Hold on.
Elena C.
I got you, Elena. Got you.
I'm sorry.
No worries.
I just want to make sure that I speak today.
We got, so this is what I got right this second. We're going to take more. Katie G, Bonnie B, Janet B. I have Hanayeta, Lisa B, Elena C. Who else?
Tony B.
I think Pete B was in there. I think
no,
I
well,
did hear that. Pete B.
Did.
Who?
Tony B in Scotland.
Tony B.
Kelsey R.
Leanne F.
All right. Leanne S. I think that's a heck of a list today. That's first round. So we got Katie G, Bonnie B, Janet B, Hanayeta R, I believe. Lisa B, Lena C, Pete B, Tony B, Kelsey R, and Leanne S. Katie G, you're up.
Hey, Russ, sorry for talking all over you. Please forgive me. This is Katie. Recovered compulsive eater in Boston, and I have a lot of thoughts, just like everybody else. Hopefully it'll be helpful. You know, I've been in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous for over 20 years, and, you know, so much of my story now in my adult life is in recovery. So I guess for me, a lot of this story now is not just about the food. It's not just what it was like when I was in the food. It's what it was like in abstinence only, without a solution. For me, I suffered in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, abstinent only, doing the tools only, having no God, like really thinking that if I wanted to get God, I needed to be
become Orthodox. I needed to become a born-again Christian because these were the women, the only women that I saw having a relationship with God. And what happened is I bottomed out in abstinence. So I could sit here and tell you a foodologue that you guys may or may not recognize because I'm a compulsive eater, but I'm also an anorexic and bulimic. But I think so much more of my story is what happened in abstinence and how I went insane with this disease. And so much, it's so easy to say I'm willing to go to any length, but am I willing to go to any length now? Am I willing to question daily my willingness to be willing? We talked about this capacity to be honest yesterday, you know, and I, as a recovered woman, had to talk to my brother yesterday because I was dishonest with him. And then I went on and I practiced a character defect, you know, completely in a state of recovered abstinence. So I think so much of this for me is about learning, you know, what the story was for me. And the other thing I really wanted to say is my story discloses in a general way what I used to be like without God. What happened? I allowed God to intervene, right? I got entirely abstinent, or I recognized that I needed more than just abstinence and what I am like now. And I also have to be careful, like with my ego being what it is, like I am not perfect. I can stay recovered today contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And like I said, I had to be honest about being dishonest with my brother. I practiced some character defects. But there really has been, and I'll wrap with this, a shift from the external world for me to the internal world. And I do want what my other recovered fellows have. And it's not their bodies, and it's not the external, but it is this internal connection with God. May we all find him now. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Katie. Next up is Bonnie B., followed by Janet B.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service, Russ, and for the opening shares. In my devotions this morning, the scripture I was, meditating on was, I believe, help my unbelief. And so when I came into this program and I heard all these stories of people, and they shared so many of the backroom stories, like we just talked about, right, the things that I did, but there was so much shame. I knew that they were real. I wanted what they had, and yet I've been around the mountain a lot of times. So when it says, if you've decided you want what we have, which is the spiritual awakening, which is what, you know, we just talked about, like God coming in and doing for me what I can't do for myself, and you're willing to go to any length, which is the 12 steps, to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. I wanted that. I really, really, really wanted that. And yet, I wasn't able to grab onto it. And again, there was so much shame and so much guilt because it was like, what am I doing wrong? And yet there was nothing wrong with what I was doing. This is what I know. God's there. He wants me to live recovered and delivered every second of every day, not so I can be in the body size that I had longed for. I've had it for 5 years. That is not it. It's so that I can live in a place of peace and emotional sobriety and be fit and serve his children today, whatever that looks like. But even in this program, I was the one that continued to question, what am I doing wrong? And I wasn't doing anything wrong. And this is what I want to say to those that maybe aren't where you'd like to be. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. Every second of every day, if we lean back into our Creator and say, God, I want to be of service to you and other people. I know this is holding me back. I offer this to you. He's going to show up. And he's going to remove those things bit by bit. And this is what he did for me, and this is what he continues to do for me. I will never arrive. I'm so aware of that. Until my God calls me home, I'm just a work in progress. But I am so grateful for this program because he continues to reveal to me those things that separate from me from him and being of service to others. And I do want it, but I'm sure that even today. And thank you so much for allowing me to share. Blessings to you all, and have a great day. I'll pass.
Thanks, Bonnie. Next up is Janet B., followed by Hanayeta.
Hi, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So our Tradition 3 says the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. So that's the requirement to be able to come to meetings, right? All we have to do is want to stop. But we get more requirements if we want to work the steps. It gives us two requirements. It says, if you have decided you want what we have, and what do we have? A spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, like our dead souls become alive again. God rewires our heart, removes the food obsession. So that's what we have. But then there's a second point that makes us able to work the steps. And it says, willing to go to any length. It says, then, and I always say then and only then, are you ready to take certain steps. So how much time did I waste as a new sponsor working with people who just weren't willing to go to any lengths? And how much time did I waste my first few years not being willing to go to any lengths? But that's a requirement. So what does that mean? It means being willing to do everything that's in this book and reasonable things that a sponsor asks, like go to a certain amount of meetings, make a certain amount of phone calls, things like that. And if sometimes there's a couple of things I want to just kind of say on that. Sometimes I'll ask someone, are you willing to go to any lengths? And she'll say, well, I'm not. And I'm like, okay, what are you not willing to do? I always ask people to make a list, like, let's get it in front of us, what we're not willing. And often people will say, I'm not willing to stop eating. And I say, uh-uh. Are you not willing or are you not able? Because what makes us compulsive eaters is we want to stop, but we don't have the power. And I say, are you willing to do whatever it takes so that God can come in and remove your food obsession? And always they say yes, except once. One person actually said, you know what, I don't want to stop eating. And I said, okay, for you, I got nothing, because that's not our job to convince someone to stop. So if someone isn't willing to go to any lengths, it says they're not ready to take certain steps. They're not ready to work the steps. I don't argue with them. I don't try to convince them they should work the steps. It'll be so good for them to work the steps. They'll be happy, joyous, free, have a great life. I just won't work with them. And if I'm sponsoring someone, even if she's abstinent, if she's not going to any lengths, if she's not, let's say I tell her to make 3 calls a day, and she says, no, I'm only making one. Even if she's abstinent, I won't keep working with her because it's not willing to go to any lengths. And if someone isn't willing to do the work, I don't say to them, I think you need another voice. I think you need a different sponsor. I point to this paragraph and I say, I'm not allowed to sponsor you. I'm only allowed to sponsor people willing to go to any lengths. And what does it tell us? You know, why should we be? Thank you. That's all I got. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Janet. Appreciate it. Next up is Hanayeta, followed by Lisa B.
Thank you, Russ, for your service. I am Hanayeta R., you're right, R., from Texas. I'm the only Hanayeta. And I set my timer. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in remission today. We disclose in a general way what we are like, what happened, and what we're like now. Well, I was a wretch. I was a grazer. I ate all the time. I stole. I was mean. I was a control freak. I was egocentric. I was totally insane. What happened? I had a spiritual experience. Many, 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 thank you, God, many spiritual experiences that led me to who I am today. I am a good, honest person. I'm trustworthy. I'm kind. I love helping others. And why? How did that happen? Because I decided I wanted what you had, what you all had, and I was willing to go to any lengths. I was willing to do anything. And at one point I said, if my sponsor would tell me to eat toothpicks three times a day, that's what I would do. But I was willing to work the steps. And now today I live the steps because I stay in fit spiritual condition. And when I work steps 10, no, I do work steps 10, 11, and 12, and that helps keep me in fit spiritual condition. So, you know, after you're willing to go to the angst, then you work the steps, and it does. And then you start living the steps. And to me, what I've just outlined is a pure miracle, because I was such a terrible person. I did terrible things. And yet, you know what? I am here today to say my life is a miracle because of this program. And so don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. You all have one. You don't have it yet, and you will get it if you just keep coming back. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Thank you, Russ, again, for letting me share. That's what I have today.
Thanks, Anietta. Next up is Lisa B., Bob Elena C.
Good morning, Russ. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. And I do spell my name L-E-S-A. So this paragraph, what I have written in my margin next to it is, it's the willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. And that's what I need. And it tells me that in the spiritual appendix, you know, that those are the essentials and they're indispensable. And, you know, I love that whole idea of our stories, because that's what helped me take a seat, you know, come all the way in and sit all the way down. You know, I kind of was always hovering over by the door, ready to make a quick exit. Even on the phone meeting, I was ready to make a quick exit. But the minute I heard the tone in your voices, and then when I introduced myself as a newcomer and I got all the calls from recovered fellows and I had a chance to meet you a little bit more, you know, that's really what helped me so much. And the whole idea of sharing our stories is weaving in there the solution, which is how we establish that relationship with a higher power. And I love that word, a concept of a relationship with a higher power, you know, not just handing my Christmas list over, which is what I had been doing for many years. And it discloses in a general way what we used to be like, and it's that general way, but that was enough for me. And what happened, and it's really what happened now for all of you, that just was so enticing and so attractive. And I hear that on the special editions, you know, I hear the attractiveness. And I need to talk every day to recovered fellows, and I need to share with newcomers on a regular basis, because I need to hear what it's still like out there. And, you know, like one of the sharers this morning talked about life in long-term recovery, it's different, you know, and the disease is progressive. Recovery is progressive. It's growing along. It's advancing. And yes, I am happy, joyous, and free. And I do this happily and comfortably, but I can tell the disease is progressive, and I still have to be willing every day to be going to any length. I can't cut corners, you know, and I pray often, you know, save me from that desire to take the easier, softer way and to cut corners. And it doesn't show initially, thank God. It's not in my food today. I have a black and white clean abstinence, and I'm grateful for that, but it's the other things, and that's where it always starts. And, it's a gift and a privilege to be able to hear a fellow that is coming back. And I'm sorry that they're suffering, but they are helping me tremendously when they come back. And it gives me a chance to step up and be of service and let you know, what I have through God's grace, try and be of help to them. But it's helping me more. And I'm just grateful for the desire that's still there through God's grace to want to go to any length, to be on this meeting every day listening.
Time.
So that's it. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. So before Lena C. gets on there, let me let you know where we're at, how it works. Page 58, the second paragraph, starting with our stores disclose, ending with ready to take certain steps. And we're just reading that paragraph. So sharing on that paragraph. Go ahead, Elena.
Good morning, Russ. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, recovered by grace, by Lord's mercy, my higher power's mercy. And I hear what jumps out at me strongly in this paragraph is experience strength and hope. Experience strength and hope. And what that means? Experience means my pain, the way I experience the pain of addiction and the pain of my character defects that were tied with my addiction, you know, the pain of my delusions, the pain of my denial, the pain of my grandiosity, and so forth. And this is what I need to speak about the first and foremost when I sponsor people. I need to speak about this when I share here, because we need to hear how dreadful it was. And then strength. What's strength? Strength is the implementation of the steps. Because being willing to change and to grow towards the power of your understanding, I would have never thought that I'm going to do that. I mean, and not even in my wildest dream. Did I think that one time I will wake up at night or in the morning and desire to go to an OA meeting? Never. So it's very, very profound that each one of us made a decision to do this work. And that's therefore its strength. And I read somewhere that the measure of intelligence is the ability to change. And I really thought, oh, I have to be good at math. Oh, I have to know this and know all of it about all of it. No, my ability to change, and the strength means change. And then the hope and what that is. And the hope here is for me, the message of recovery. Hope is the message of recovery. When I speak about how my life transformed, what I practice today, how I bring about God in my day, in my being, how I go about the day and have compassion and understanding and not reactivity, you know, and quarreling with others. That is hope. Hope is the language of recovery. And then I also heard willing. And what willing is to want what? To do these simple steps. And they're simple. Only my mind made it so complicated. And you can still make it complicated. I can look at it with fear at times. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Elena. Next up is my man, Pete B. Followed by Tony
Russ.
Good morning.
Hey, Russ, thanks for taking the meeting. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And, I don't know if it's anybody's role to tell anybody else what any lengths are for them. You know, like, we all come in here with our own stories, our own experiences. We have tools and we have, you know, practices that we put in place, but I'm not really sure, you know, I can tell somebody what any lengths are. You know, it's something that, you know, like lots of things, people need to figure out for themselves. You know, I need to know that, you know, there's stuff I have to do. I'm going to have to do to, you know, most importantly, put the food down and keep it down, whatever it takes, right? And the spiritual process, the process of having a spiritual experience, well, that's going to be disclosed, you know, as I grow spiritually, as I keep the food out of my system and I adopt this process and practice these principles and work the steps to the best of my ability. And that spiritual experience is going to materialize as a result of that. But it all starts with entire abstinence. Yesterday we heard, and many of us embraced this idea that, you know, God took over the pen and authored the book through Bill's hand. right? And lots of talk about, you know, are we constitutionally incapable of being honest? Are we constitutionally incapable of looking at the literature and applying it to ourselves? And are we actually carrying this message that's in this book? And if you listen, and if we are being honest with ourselves, we'll recognize that in our fellowship and the practice, like if God authored the book, why is it that we change the wording? Why is it that we add punctuation that doesn't exist? Why is it do we substitute words? Like, instead of saying we were powerless over alcohol, we'll tell people they are powerless over alcohol or over food, and they'll never have any power, and they'll never have any control, and we'll never have any options, when our book clearly says that we will get power, right? It says that we were powerless over alcohol, and our lives had become unmanageable, not they are unmanageable. Right, that we will in fact get restored to sanity. We don't stay sick. We get a right mind as a result of working the steps. Why is it that we tell people that they make an amend when the book says we are supposed to make amends? They are two different things. Why is it that we continue to emphasize to people that the only way they're going to be able to process their emotions is if they force someone else to talk? People talk about doing the 10th step without even mentioning the fact that they are supposed to ask God to remove the shortcoming, right? The 10th step is not about talking to somebody else. It's about asking God to remove selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, right? So if we're being honest, and I'll shut up with this, if we're being honest, I mean, we should be able to honestly look at what message are we carrying? Are we carrying this message, or are we altering it and carrying ours? And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete. Next up is Tony B., followed by Kelsey R.
Thank you, Russ. My name's Tony B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And these, our stories, are stories of recovered fellows. They may not stay recovered, but at the time of writing the stories in the back of the big book, and as we talk on this line, you know, we're recovered. And all these stories as recovered fellows demonstrate reaching a point of hopelessness and despair, asking for help. You know, we don't come into OA for fun. You know, we're looking, we want help, knowing we couldn't do it ourselves, surrendering somehow, finding this fellowship, which is such a beautiful thing in OA, and the connection which brings us hope that we can put the food down. People say to us, you don't ever need to eat again. And they show this beginning to get this belief in God and the belief that he can restore us to sanity. And this might take time to grow, and it just needs willingness to start off with, but will come strongly as we continue on. And then a decision to surrender ourselves. And that's that self on page 61, that actor to him, to God. And a willingness to launch in, write down, tell another person and God all my resentments, my fears, my harmful sex conduct, and getting clear on what my faults are, what my defects are, what my patterns are, asking for forgiveness, very important, and forgiving others, extremely important, having this desire for our defects to be removed and also our hurts to be healed, and then continuing constantly with this process, seeking connection with God, passing the message on, being active in the fellowship, and repeat and repeat and repeat and keep going and keep doing, keep asking for help, keep helping. And what we have as a result is freedom from the food obsession and freedom from the unmanageable buildup of our human emotions, which used to lead us over and over into the food. And what we have is changed lives. Lifelong conceptions out of the window, a whole new set of guiding principles to live by. And it's not a skipping through the daisies happiness all the time, or even any of the time, but it is a way to deal with life and live to useful purpose. And that's what we have as recovered fellows, one day at a time, just as long as we continue to rely on God, seek his will, do our part, i.e. the steps, and we're never going to do it perfectly. And we don't have to. We just have to do it. Thanks for letting me share, I pass.
Thanks, Tony. Next up is Kelsey R., followed by Leanne S.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, everyone, for your service. Oh, the good ones. They're all good ones. The stories. The first story I heard 20 years ago as a 17-year-old were fellows who felt and obsessed about food the way I did for the first time in my then very short life. That seed was planted, and I heard people talk about it the way I felt about it. But the first 17 years of stories that I heard and being in and out of meetings, it really was dieting with group support, and my disease progressed because I didn't understand until 3 years ago that I had a twofold illness. The obsession brings me back to the food again and again and again, and then the allergy ensures that I won't be able to stop after I start. I wasn't seeing recovery like I see it in strong meetings like Vision and others that are big book focused, where a relationship with power, the God of our understanding, is the only solution. It's the only solution. I tried so many solutions in the rooms of OA, solutions as sponsors, solutions as bulimia, solutions as laxatives, solutions like everything like that I could get my hands on as a solution. But my problem is, like this book tells me, is lack of power, right, over the obsession and the phenomenon of craving, but also to just live and move through the world in a way that I deeply desired, like wanted to, but couldn't. And our book tells us the main object is to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. And we're also told later in the book that spiritual principles will solve all of our problems, all of them. Like we can't miss anything there. It says all of our problems. So I have a story of what I used to be like. Self will run riot, period. Like that is my best thinking gets me into the rooms of OA because I can't function on my own. But there's hope because of what happens when I come here and I am right-sized in my relationship with God from a demanding toddler, which I have two of those, and asking, really asking for God's will and then the power to do it in radical honesty so that I can lay fertile soil to be changed. I'm not going to change myself, but I can open myself up to be changed and to what I'm like now. And what I'm like now is filled with gratitude that I received this gift of spiritual psychic transformation. Like it comes as a gift. I can't remove anything from me. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
All right, Kelsey, next up is Lee Ann S., and then we're going to hook up another list of sharers. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Lee Ann from Florida, recovering from anorexia and food addiction and all forms of the disease. Disclose in a general way, and I had a very good stint of recovery, wanting the desire to stop eating compulsively. The willingness lasted 15 years. However, my desire to control and keep my body a certain size and shape, that part I was not able to fully give over to God. And that part of the disease grew. It grew as I was being abstinent, helping others, seemingly to be recovered. But I had this little thing of control in the corner, like a warm, cozy blanket, just in case there would come a time when, what if I get bound to a wheelchair? I'll go back to my restrictive behaviors. All of that was still in my mind. And that's the part of the disease that I needed a story to hear people who desired to just let go absolutely of that part of the control, because I never really desired to let that go. On a qualification one day, a person said, you need to find somebody as low bottom as you dealing with that particular issue to help you through, to hold your hand through this. And God put a certain person in my mind, and her story continues to disclose in a general way how she got out of this place that I fell in. I call it a relapse of control, anorexic control relapse. And as far as being ready, I never felt ready. The only way I got the willingness was after I did it. And to me, that's doing it afraid, doing it unwilling. Only the desperation drives me beyond my fear. And, you know, the pain of being the way I was in that anxiety. I was eating a very large food plan because of my history and having the wrong kind of a brain, and it was complete torture. And it led me back to complete anorexic controlling behaviors. So today, working to come out of that requires so much surrender. And someone said before, God help my unbelief. Sometimes I don't believe I could ever be free of that. But you know, when I stop long enough and ask God to help my unbelief, and there's the literature, you know, the literature teaches me how to pray. There's so many lines in this book that are perfect prayers for me. You know, direct my attention on what you would have me be. Set aside everything I think I know. I have to really work hard on this one. And willing to go to any length to do this work. I just can't give up. I see freedom. Oh, thank you, that people have that I want. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
All right, Leanne, thanks a lot. We're going to open up the line for Sharon. We got time. Let's do three shares on page 58, that second paragraph. Who would like it?
Lynn S.
This is Larry K.
Jennifer G. from California.
I got Lynn, I got Jen, and Larry. They're the ones I heard. And if we have time, we'll bang out more. All right, Lynn, you're up.
Good morning. Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. This is one of my favorite paragraphs because there's many places where phrases out of the big book are bandied about and everybody quotes them, and you listen to people speak and they always say, so I'm supposed to share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. But the book doesn't say that. It says, share what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. And that's pivotal for me because I always thought it was the problem. I can't stand it anymore. I've got to eat. I just can't stand it. And I didn't even know what I couldn't stand. It was just called it. But it didn't matter. It was driving me insane. It's you. It's them. It's work. It's all this stuff. No, it's not. It's me. I cannot stand living with me and my mind and the way I react to certain people and situations and things. And, you know, I hate to be picky about words, I truly do, but this book was written with certain words because that's what they meant. And the problem is me. It always has been me. It always will be me. And I'm so grateful for that. Because that gives me a chance to look at me and go to my God and ask for help in removing these defects of character that are causing me to react in certain ways that hurt me and those around me. This recovery process is an amazing gift from God. I am so grateful to have this, you know, we always used to joke, I never got the instruction manual for life. Well, here it is for me. And we all interpret it differently, and I get that. But what I've learned over the years is my interpretation isn't so hot, but what is really good is what it says in the book. And as long as I do to the very best of my ability what it says in the book, I've got a chance of living a happy, joyous, free life connected to God of my understanding. I am just so darn grateful for the people on this line who have shared with me their experience, told me what happened with them, guided me along the path. Because it's not a Stephen King novel. It's not it. It's me. And thank God for that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. All right. Next up is Jen A, followed by Larry K. Well, you know what?
Hi, Russ. Good morning.
Jen, we got about 4 minutes. Could you take two and then Larry takes two?
Absolutely. I'll set my timer now. I was just doing that. I'll take 2 minutes. Thanks, buddy. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jen A. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic, and exercise bulimic from Colorado. And thank you, God, for saving a girl like me today. I love how it's phrased here. If I have the capacity to be honest, and I've decided, made a decision that I want what you all have, and I'm willing to go to any length to get it, I'm ready. In my book, I highlighted this in yellow because, you know, it's an action step for me. I read this over and over at 6 a.m. in meetings for 3 months. How it works, how it works, how it works. We read it every single day in the meeting. I thought, why do we need to read this every single day? But there's something about it. It just started to sink in for me, sitting in those rooms of recovery. And when I was willing to go to any length, on this piece of paper next to my big book, I drew a line and I signed the contract. I was ready contractually with God to say, yes, I am ready to do whatever it takes to get recovered. And I'll never forget that I walked in my one-on-one meeting with my sponsor that morning on a Saturday morning in the Panera Bread. And I said, I'm ready to do whatever it takes. I'll be as honest as I need to be. Whatever you say to do, I'll do it. And he made suggestions. We read the book, and I took certain steps. And I've never really strayed from whatever the big book says. You know, when it says to do this, I take action. When it says to pray this, I pray the prayer that's in the book. I don't need to modify it. I pray it as it is in here. And the miraculous things that have happened in my life as a result from doing this, it's amazing. You know, and it's such a great thing to hear that other people are going to have these same miracles, too, if they work for them. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Jen. Appreciate that. All right, Larry, you're up. You got 2 minutes, bro.
Hey, Russ, thanks so much. Yeah, I'll keep it short. I like what Janet said. If you want what we have, what do we have? A spiritual awakening as the result of the implementation of the steps. That's all we have. When we do that, the obsession is lifted. The obsession is lifted. Can I use the steps to get abstinent? No. Can't do it. Sorry. The book, you want to know where the book says it? Call me up. I'll show you. We all interpret this book as best we can. But you can't. If I was doing a bag of heroin, I never did, but if I was, and I said, I was doing so much, but now I just need a little bit to take the edge off while I work the steps. I mean, come on, just a little bit. Sorry. It's not the way it works. You're not going to get what we have. You're not going to get access to power. You're not going to get a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. You have to put the food down. Entire abstinence, I heard someone say. Yes, you're going to have to figure that out. Find a Sherpa, find many Sherpas that'll help you to find out what that looks like. You cannot use the steps in order to implement the steps while you're still reeking of alcohol, while you're still doing just a little bit of heroin. Can't do it. That's it. Let's wrap, Russ. Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Larry. So Larry's our last share. And whoever wants to share, please stick around for the next unrecorded hour of study, and we're going to do that after we end the meeting. Thank you to everyone who has shared. We appreciate it. Let me give you today's share ID. Okay, the share ID for today, November 8th. I'm having a problem today. November 8th, 2024, 21,899. That's 21,899. Close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and Elena C. is going to read that for us. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Elena C., South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we all know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you are God. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.